life. Lord, we've been born of your Spirit, born of love. We thank you, Father God, your Holy Ghost is within us to lead us and guide us in truth. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we just present ourselves today, a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves to you, Lord. The greatest thing that we would have is our very life. We give it to you. We give you our praises today for you're worthy. You've done great things for us. Hallelujah. We thank you for the Holy Ghost who is our teacher. We pray for his ministry to be released to each and every one of us. Lord, as we stand before you in the fear of the Lord, I thank you knowledge, understanding, and wisdom shall spring forth. May there be an impartation of strength in the Holy Ghost today. And I thank you for it, Father, for your anointing upon me to deliver your word, to bring an impartation, Lord, that we go from strength to strength, faith to faith, and glory to glory. And we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. My voice sounds a little funny today. I'm fine. Had a tooth extracted this week. And the bleeding, you know, through the night caused me to cough a lot. So I sort of strained my throat coughing. But other than that, I'm fine. Praise God. Glad I finally got that guy out. He was loose for like 6 months. So now I can chew a little bit better. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to give you something to chew on. Hope we have the teeth for it. But we want to get into the Word. And I'm going to pick up on what the Spirit of God's had me sharing for. This will be the sixth week now. And it's very, very important. There's the necessity of the study of the Word. That's why we have what I call Bible study. Okay. That's not two services. Just remind you of that. We need to study the Word. We need the ministry, the teacher, whereby we grow in our understanding that we can walk on it. Now, whether you walk and something's on you, once you have the understanding, then you're accountable to walk in the light of what you know. There's an accountability that we have. And we need that to be continuing that aspect of ministry. And I love teaching the Word. I mean, it's a real passion of mine. But there's times, there's different types of ministry of the Word. There's times for exhortation, edification, comfort. There's times for prophetic. There's times for correction. There's various aspects. Warning. Paul said he didn't cease to teach and warn. So I'm coming from a place somewhat of a prophetic warning right now. And it's very, very important. And that word was that there's storms on the horizon here in the natural. Storms on the horizon. And God will tell us things ahead or show us things ahead that we can be prepared for. Now, I could talk about things that I would think and try and do natural preparations, but that's not what's for me to do. That's not my place here. But rather, we need to be prepared spiritually for the things that are ahead. And it's up to you to seek that out, whether there's something you should do, both in the spirit, but also in the natural. There's times you need to take steps in the natural. But that's not my focus. Many times when people even go to touch some of these things, they magnify the negatives and don't really magnify the Lord in it all. And that will create more problems. Because if you magnify the negatives, then you're opening yourself up to fear, doubt, unbelief, particularly fear, spirit of fear. So some people just say, I don't care anything. You know, because they're afraid of the negativity getting on them. What we need to do is be looking at Jesus, looking in the Word, that we are strengthened and prepared in spirit for whatever we might encounter. Not being afraid, and you don't want to live your life afraid of the future. Many people do. They're worried about the future. You know, like people who put their trust in money, their great fear is that the stock market's going to crash. But whether it does or it doesn't, it doesn't change who God is. You know, if we look at him for who he is first, that he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, I don't have to worry about that. Now, something might happen, it'll be trouble for people, but if I'm listening to him, he can tell me when to buy and sell. No, I'm not into stocks. But he can tell you when to buy and sell. And my son, Jesse, has really a calling on his life. And remember when he Iraq was when the one market, you know, thing really went down. He was into like the day trading, buy and sell stuff. And we were talking on the phone, and he had doubled his money while everybody else lost half their money because the Spirit of God told him what to do. And I heard a message. I had a friend that was a prophet who had a prophet friend who was very much used in the area of finance. And he shared like five things that God told him to do and how he doubled his money when everybody lost their money. And I told that to Jesse, and he said, well, yeah, that was, he did the exact same things as the man that was the prophet. Now, you don't have to be a prophet to hear from God. All of his children, and he speaks to all of us, just to what degree are we listening or paying attention? And he showed him, my son, the same things he showed this man of God prophet that was being used to bless the ministry worldwide in a very large way. So the only reason I share that, now I wasn't planning on sharing that, but just by inspiration, somebody needs to hear that, is God can speak to you for what you need to hear. Just make sure you're paying attention and listening. And God, in his wisdom and mercy, will prepare us for the things that are ahead. And we know the Bible says the last days are going to wax worse and worse, and we're a day farther into it than we were yesterday. You know, we're getting close, and it doesn't take a prophet to see, if your eyes are about half open, what's going on in the world's getting worse and worse. And yeah, that's true. Bible's true there. We do want to remember that where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. In Romans 5:20. So whatever negative is increasing around us, we don't need to be dismayed by that. We need to hold fast to realize that there's more grace to be laid hold of to take us through. Now that doesn't mean it's just everything's going to be smooth sailing for you. There'll be a fight. We're trying to fight the good fight. But there's more grace available if there's more things coming against you. If you don't have any trials or pressures, I guess you don't need too much of God. And see, people rely on themselves and think they have a hold of everything. They don't realize their need for grace. And the great, one of the great doctrines of the enemy or the demonic deceptions is that people don't need God. We were created to need him, to depend upon him. But people think, well, I have enough money, and I'm in a safe place, and I have this, that, and the other, that I don't need him. It's a very sad thing. So in the New Age movement, people really say there's no sin, so you don't need a Savior then. So then what glory is going to be given to Jesus? Well, none. Glory is going to be given to self. So, anyway, the word of the Lord to me was that there's a storm on the horizon, and that doesn't mean next week, next month, could be next year, I don't know. God spoke to me that the Spirit feared coming waves. This was like the year or so before the pandemic, and that it would be based on three things: unknown diseases, terrorism, and economic turmoil. And we've seen some of that happen already, and there's more to come. In any case, my instinctive reaction to that is to begin to teach the Word of God on it. So that's what I did. And that's what I'm doing with you today relative to seeing what's coming up ahead, is to share the Word that would empower us to go through all of that. And when the pandemic hit, we didn't close down. We're not going to bow our knee to a man when God commands us to gather and worship. Nor are we going to yield to a spirit of fear. We're afraid to gather. Because God can protect and deliver. And you know, we transitioned on, we moved on through that. Sad to say many didn't. It's very, 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 very sad to me how much of the body of Christ did not. But see, that was a forerunner of the test to come. So if you'll bow your knee to a governor and not gather, what do you think you're going to do when they say, we'll turn off your finances here. We'll just close it up. You know, they can do that now. We're already there. We're so close to the end. But we don't have to be afraid. God will make a way. That won't go in full implementation though after we're gone. But it's in the build-up to it now. Okay. Well, a storm on the horizon, I want to get back to that, and my text has been Luke 8:22, in that passage where Jesus stilled the storm. I'm not going to re-preach that, but I'm just making a reference here, that the Jesus said, we're going to the other side of the lake here, and or the sea, and the disciples, they got into a boat, Jesus falls asleep, big storm erupts to where the professional fishermen are scared to death, they're going to die. So you know, it had to be bad. It had to be bad if they were scared. And they wake Jesus up, who's asleep in the boat. He has perfect peace. He's not worried about anything. Perfect peace. They wake him up. He rebukes the storm, or the storm stops. And then he says, where's your faith? And he wasn't doing that condemning them. But many times the Lord would bring a question, pose a question to you to help you consider and go forward. So he says, where is your faith? Or in other words, his desire was that they would have known that they could have done that, having walked with him, but they weren't there yet. So Jesus, being the master teacher, see, let me show you again. You know, teachers love to teach, so it's pure joy to be asked to tell me that again. It's like no bother at all. You have to drop of the hat, and necessary, I'll drop the hat. You know, begin to teach, but that's just a little teacher joke there. But anyway, the disciples. He wanted them to learn to be like him, and that they could do that as well. But they weren't there yet, and they cried out to him. They woke him up. He stilled the storm. And the thing I want to stress, as we're even discussing or considering the things of the evil around us, you must be aware that no matter your position, you do have the option, the availability, the possibility to call on the Lord and him deliver you out. So you don't have to let fear. He wants us to rise up and begin to do that. But if you find yourself in a place, you're not there in the moment, you know, because we live our life in the moment. You're not there in the moment for whatever reason. You can call out to him and trust him to deliver you out. So the reason I say that, you don't have to be perfect. I hear a praise God, hallelujah, amen for that. You don't have to be perfect. If you did, there'd be no hope for anyone. The Lord meets us where we are. And now, don't ever forget that, because you could be reaching out to someone who seems down and out to you. He'll meet them where they are. And some of it might be part of your testimony. You might have been laying in a gutter drunk and the Lord appear. And these things happen. Lord will meet people where they're at. God doesn't expect us to come to a certain place before we can talk to him. He meets us where we are. He saved us while we're all yet in sin. At one point when we were worshiping, the thought crossed my mind how, well, I'll bring that up later. But anyway, the Lord will meet you. He wants us to come to a place that we can help others. We can help still the storm in their life. Where's your faith? That. But if you're in a place where you're helpless, cry out to him. He'll deliver you. Okay, so we want to remove any works mentality as we're discussing any of this. Because sometimes people think, well, I'm not good enough, so they just lay down and sort of turn herself over to the devil and beat on them. No. Worst case scenario, you cry out to the Lord. Best case scenario, you cry out to the Lord some more. But we want to come to a place in love where we're not doing it just thinking about ourselves, but others. And in light of the negativity around us, it will work for good in that pressure is going to come upon people who don't have the Lord, who are in a hopeless situation. Now, that'll scare you. That scares people. And when you have faith and you're living the hope of God before them, they see this doesn't seem to be jerking your chain. It's not moving you around. And they watch you long enough, the day will come, they're going to ask. Now, sometimes the door swings open and you hardly know someone. But sometimes people, they're watching you. You're a Christian, aren't you? Yeah. And they're just watching. And I've seen already, I remember when I worked at a foundry and masonry work both, you had certain guys, certain men, they would just, I don't know if, how I say it. It's like pick at you, prod you, push you, because they want to see if you're for real or not. For real or not. And it a kind of guys that once, a lot of people like that, once they accept the Lord, you're not budging them out. Amen. But it takes a lot to get them in. And a Christian that'll stand and stand and stand, they see this is for real. This Jesus you're talking about, he is alive. He's for real. I'll give my life to you. And so many times the people who seem to be like prodding you the most actually are searching. A lot of times those people are the ones that are closer to the Lord. They're just wanting to see what's for real. Who's real? I know in traveling through the old Soviet, most all the pastors that I sat with worked for the mafias over there. You know, like bill collectors cracking kneecaps and stuff like that. And you would never know it now because they're full of love and peace and joy. But you would never know that except that they tell you. And so many, you know, they came to that point where they would encounter Christians for real, be it in a prison or what have you. And the love of God's irresistible. You just have to persevere with that. I know there was this one sister, this is in Odessa, we were at lunch, and so I said, well, tell your testimony. So she starts to share, and her husband's sitting there, and how she accepted the Lord, and her husband was one of the head of in the Communist Party there, who was the head of propaganda, and of course, persecution with that, and she got saved, and she asked Pastor, well, what should I do? You know, should I leave my husband? So you need to pray for him. She said, oh, my God, I was afraid you were going to say that. You pray and stand. Well, she prayed and stayed. Now, then at that time, I'm sitting there with him. He was like a theologian, teacher of the word. It was just like, here's a lady, you know, she's standing in faith for her husband who looked impossible to her. But the love of God broke through. And sometimes, again, people like that you can think are so evil, they're really poking and prodding, trying to see what's for real. And the the way in reaching us, that kind of person, there's different types of people out there, of course, but that kind of person is if we're living the love of Jesus, we're living our life for Christ, that no matter what, we are not going to be deterred from serving our Lord. Yeah, in various places, like in Sri Lanka, where it's persecution, some of the pastors there, that makes a way. You know, where, say they're persecuted by the Buddhists, and they still just keep coming back. Beat them, burn their house down, keep coming back, preaching the word. And it's like, well, to them, like, well, you're more committed to your God than I am my God. So I'm going to serve your God. Tell me more about your God. Well, his name's Jesus, Son of God. Lay his life down, pay for our sins, remove our sins, and give us new life. We be born again of his Spirit, that the Spirit of God could come within us and begin to reflect the very life and nature of God, and thus glorify God both now and forever. The forever parts through your testimony. Take it with you forever. Well, we're looking at this, the word that would take us on through to victory. And I began sharing with you, three weeks ago, from the Hebrew Epistle. It's one of my favorites. It's because that's where the books open up to right now. It's my favorite. My favorite place to preach from is the one I'm looking at right now. But the book of Hebrews was written by Paul to the Hebrew Christians who were undergoing persecution. Now, in terms of persecution, the first persecution came not from the Romans, but from the Jews. Because Jesus proclaimed himself as the Son of God, resurrected Savior, and they thought it was all heresy. You know, when he even alluded to that, much less the declaration of it. And they began to be persecuted. But then later on came the persecution from the Roman Empire, which for hundreds of years, where hundreds of thousands of Christians were killed, martyrs, for their faith. But it wasn't just that. I mean, others, many others, their life was made hard on them. So the Hebrew Epistle was written to a people who were being persecuted, and many were being tempted to withdraw or fall away from following the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 10 as well, brings that out very clearly. And there's warnings. We can't walk away from God if we've come to him. Now, you're not going to like trip and stumble and lose your faith, lose your salvation. Okay, that's wrong doctrine. But on the other hand, once saved, always saved is not right either, in the sense that you can make a choice to walk away from him. Okay, that's not the same as trip and fall in sin. The blood of Jesus will cover all sin as you confess it, but it's there to bring forgiveness and cleansing and remission of all sin. But we need to humble ourselves and let him be our high priest and cleanse us of our sin. So, that letter was written to strengthen the people who were being tempted to be pulled away. And in the very end times, the last days, the temptation of that we see in the Word does get greater and greater upon people. And thus, Thessalonians speaks about a great falling away. And I believe we're even seeing that today worldwide, body of Christ. There's many who once walked with the Lord, served him, or falling away. Now, how far, you know, when do you judge whether someone has rejected Christ? Well, that's not for you to judge. That's between them and the Lord. We don't want to get our mind in that, you know, gutter. And a lot of Christians will that are judgmental. Well, I think you lost your salvation. Well, you don't know that. That's not for us to say. They'll have to answer to him. Nonetheless, the warnings should be brought forth, because that's not something we want to play around with. We don't want to play around with that. And what we have to understand, in Hebrews it talks about not hardening our heart when the Holy Ghost speaks to us, like they did back in the time of the rebellion of the children of Israel after they came out being miraculously delivered. They hardened their heart and they didn't enter the promised land. So we could harden our heart. And the way I see it this way is every time God speaks to you, which is every day, you either submit, are renewed, refreshed, or you harden yourself. You resist. And I liken it to back in the old days. I don't know if people do this anymore, but back in the old days, okay. You take like a bottle and melt wax over it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Back in the like semi-hippie days, okay. That was a big thing. Well, anyway, it's like that, whereas a hard casing comes over your soul. You know, you're not really hearing anymore. Back when I used to play guitar, I had calluses on my fingers to where I didn't feel anything. Because, you know, they were so calloused from the rubbing, the friction of that. And when I did masonry work, I have calloused hands. Like every point along here was calloused. So I could pick up block all day and somebody else would do it and be ripping her hands open, bleeding by calluses. That doesn't develop overnight. You don't do that one day and now you have calluses like that. It takes time. I don't have calluses on my fingers or my hands anymore. I saw Randy looking at his fingers there. Yeah, it's why like a guitar player don't want to get his fingers in water too much and soften up the calluses, and you go to play and it's ripping your fingers up. But see, it doesn't happen overnight, and the callousing of your heart doesn't happen overnight either. You can start getting hard, and you wouldn't even realize it. Now, one thing I would say is, how easily is your heart touched in compassion as far as judging yourself? How easily? And as we're going deeper in the love of God, we should be more sensitive. Not that, you know, we have to walk around crying all the time or anything, but what does it take to prick your heart? What's it take to get some blood out of you? It's funny. Yeah, I was dealing with diabetes. I haven't really dealt with that for a while, but you do the pricking your fingers. Every time I'm done, I prick my fingers. Like, can't get any blood out. Give me another finger. Can't get any blood out. So I don't know if that was good or bad, but that's the way some people are in their heart, where what's it take to get some compassion out of you? We have to get stabbed or what? And sometimes, you know, like Donna likes those reels things, and some of them are touching, and a lot of times I can't hardly watch them because it just makes me weep. Just compassion, and I don't even know the person, you know, in the reels, whatever, but just...